The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, world. This is Trish Adora, your Pan-African World Diaspora Champion, and you are listening to John Orlando on the PVDcast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVDcast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 262. I hope you're doing well out there, and I thank you for checking out this episode. And before I start to summarize what this episode is going to be about, I'd like to just talk real quickly about some breaking news as I'm recording this intro on Wednesday, December 2nd. The news dropped today that WWE legend Pat Patterson passed away at the age of 79. And I know probably wrestling fans of the last 20 years probably remember Pat Patterson as kind of the goofy stooge for Vince McMahon. But he was much more than that. If you go back and check out some of his in-ring work, you're going to see just a guy that was on top of things. I mean, his game was on point, so to speak. And of course, he's also a very good booker. I mean, he could come up with great matches and great finishes, and heck, he created the Royal Rumble. So it is a sad day for wrestling fans to lose such a talented individual, but rest in peace, Pat Patterson. All right, now on to this episode of the PVDcast. Once again, I'm joined by the pro wrestling pundits DJ Joey Blaze and Ringside Rand to discuss and recap and review the Survivor Series, which took place about 10 days ago. Although we recorded this episode last week, since we had some free time last week given the holiday week. So you might think it's old news, but I'm going to encourage you to take a listen and find out, you know, what we thought about the various different matches and see which predictions we made that were correct and which ones were not correct, and find out what we thought about The Undertaker's final farewell. And I'm using air quotes, even though you can't see them. I know it's an audio podcast. But before we get into the heart of the episode, let me remind you that this podcast has a fabulous sponsor, and that sponsor is World's Greatest Comics. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And they got everything you need for your comic book fandom. They've got single issues of comics. They have collections. They have graphic novels, toys, collectibles, tons and tons of back issues. They got it all. So if you aren't in the Central Ohio area, but you want to check out the store, just go over to the website. Their website is wgcomics.com. And they're even on Facebook. Just go over to @WGComics and it'll populate World's Greatest Comics. Click and you can check out the store. You can check out the videos that Jeff does every Tuesday night previewing the following day's new comics. They got tons of things going on the Facebook page. So again, they're over at WGComics.com, @WGComics on Facebook, or stop by the store, 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. All right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'm going to be joined by the pro wrestling pundits to break down this year's Survivor Series. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the SummerSlam review edition of the PVDcast. Once again, I'm joined by my guest, DJ Joey Blaze. How are you this evening?
I am live and in living Technicolor.
And Ringside Rand, how are you?
If I was doing any better, I'd have to sell franchises.
Ooh, I like that one. That's a good one. All right, well, gentlemen, we watched the Survivor Series last weekend, and we're going to run down the matches and talk about them and rate the matches based on the number of body slams it could receive. 5 body slams means it was an absolutely awesome, entertaining match, down to 1 body slam that means that it was pretty darn lousy and it was pretty awful. So, but let's start things off real quick by just talking about the overall Survivor Series. Rand, what did you think overall of the pay-per-view?
It was pretty average, which for one of their big shows, it was a little bit below what it should have been. It was a good pay-per-view, but this is one of the big ones. It's supposed to be better than this. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense. And actually, before I pass it off to DJ Joey Blaze, I agree with you, Rand. I feel like it's Survivor Series. It should be not just average. It should be way above average. It's one of the big four. It should have some real gravitas to it, if you want to use that term. And this just seemed like, yeah, it just seemed like this could be any pay-per-view. Like, I don't think it's any different than Hell in a Cell, or it's not going to be any different than Payback or TLC or any of those other ordinary events. DJ Joey Blaze, what do you think?
Well, I'm kind of there and I'm kind of not. I wasn't expecting jack shit. Let's be honest. Like, we know how bad the storylines have been. A lot of stuff's just been thrown together. So I was literally walking in feeling like I was walking into a bar in Crookville trying to get laid. I had no expectations. I knew I was going to get something that wasn't good. But then...
Would that bar be the Lantern in Crookville?
I'm not exactly sure. I have been arrested there, but I don't remember the name of the bar. I had no expectations. So I really, that way I couldn't be upset. Well, this exceeded any expectations I felt. I thought it went above and beyond what I thought it was going to be. I was expecting a lot of dog shit, and we got a couple solid matches. We got some surprises, and we'll talk about a couple things that were eh. But overall, I was happy with it. I was okay. If for 2020 and the way pay-per-views are in 2020, I was okay with it. If this was something in a different year, then I think it would have been more of a down. Or a downer of a show, but it kind of exceeded my expectations, and we'll talk about that throughout the pod.
And you know what? Maybe it's just me, Joey. I don't know. That the lack of fans now, I've gotten used to it. It didn't bother me. Now, because I was thinking as you were talking and saying how, you know, this is now a 2020 event or pay-per-view, I guess it just clicked in my head. I really didn't notice now. Maybe I'm becoming used to it, immune to it, that it's just, you know, piped in noise and take it for what it is, I guess. I don't know. I just never really, it didn't register with me.
I feel when you're actually working towards more of a crowd reaction, a live crowd reaction, some different things can happen, you know, and that's why my expectations are so low, because we don't get that interaction that we would get from a promo. Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm at with it, but I enjoyed it, and I know we'll recap it, and I'll talk about what I like, what I didn't like myself personally, and we'll go from there.
Okay, well, let's start with the pre-show, and we had a huge, huge surprise right out of the gates on the pre-show. The Gobbledygooker won the 24/7 title on the pre-show. Rand, what are your thoughts on the Gobbledygooker being the 24/7 champion?
Yeah, I think we're going to go back to the comment we made last week that 24/7 titles pretty much run its course. I like R-Truth a lot, but they're having a hard time coming up with something new and interesting. And virtually every time it changes, it's a roll-up. It's pretty much run its course.
Yeah, I agree. It's run its course a little bit there. There's no reason to really rate this match, because I don't even think it was a match. He's still the champ, right? Because through the pay-per-view, he never dropped the title, correct? Unless I missed something during a bathroom break or something.
Truth's the champ again. It changed hands on Raw.
It's kind of like, man, Jerry Lawler with the Memphis titles.
Like the Southern title?
Yeah. He would have the title, lose it, get it back, lose it to somebody else. If you look at the PWI Almanac, every other championship in Memphis was Jerry Lawler.
I think 42 times he was the Southern Heavyweight Champion, I believe, in that promotion.
It might have been, maybe I'm thinking of a different level of title in Memphis.
No. That was the title. That was the title. The main title was the Southern Heavyweight title. And yeah, he held it like 40 some odd times. You know who else was notorious for that? Carlos Colon. He held the WWC Universal title like a million times too.
So how about we get a three-way match between Carlos Colon, Jerry Lawler, and R-Truth?
That would be awesome. That would be sweet.
Well served.
R-Truth's kind of like a 47-time champion, I think it is now. I'm just over it. I kind of liked the idea at first, and then for a while, because you were kind of able to incorporate some hardcore aspects, but like Rand said, it's all about a roll-up, and the only roll-up I want is a fruit one. So I'm over it. They need to do something different with it. But yeah, it's the same thing now every week with the same people.
Right, exactly. And I believe Drew Gulak was who was actually wearing the costume, by the way, which to me is like, that's a little bit of a downer for you, Drew, that you have to dress up in this garb to win the 24/7 title.
Here's what they had a perfect opportunity with Matt Riddle, because I'm not calling him Riddle, we're calling him Matt Riddle, Drew Gulak and Daniel Bryan to have some sort of, and maybe even Chad Gable, and they could have been like a shooters type of gimmick for a group, and they totally dropped that on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they had something cool going with Drew Gulak, now he's fading back away to obscurity, and it's really annoying to me because I think he's a hell of a worker. Whatever, I hate seeing him in the 20s. And I hate what they're doing with Tozawa. That's played out, too. That ninja thing has gone on from Mania. There's only one guy I know that can portray a ninja, and he's retired. So I'm over that as well.
Well, let's move on to another shocking thing that I was unaware that was going to happen on the pre-show, and that was that we're going to have a battle royal. First of all, my only comment to this is, what's the point of the battle royal? There was no, like, hey, the winner gets $5,000, or the winner gets a shot at a title, or the winner gets, you know, if it's a Raw person, then something happens cool on Raw. It was just a battle royal. We're just going to put some people in the ring. That's it. And I thought that was kind of like, you talk about a missed opportunity. Here was a great opportunity to make this battle royal mean something other than, hey, it's just filler on the pre-show. DJ Joey Blaze, what'd you think about the battle royal?
The same things. It's definitely filler, and it's really annoying, and I don't know. I just didn't like it. It didn't make sense. They could have done a couple different things with it. One of the things, like, I think that annoys me the most throughout, though, is the lack of NXT being involved, too. I think that would have been a killer place to show off some NXT talent would have been in that battle royal.
I think, though, you know, Joey, with the reports of COVID-19, you know, sweeping through the PC, I think that they were playing it safe. But, yeah, some other people in this battle royal would have been good. I was very much happy to see that Rey Mysterio, who was in the battle royal, has both of his eyes. I mean, he must have went through one hell of a surgery to get that eye back in shape, huh?
In a very short amount of time.
Yeah, he recoups well. But nonetheless, we are kind of burying the lead. The Miz is the winner of the Battle Royal. Rand, what were your thoughts on the Battle Royal itself?
I looked at the the matches beforehand and didn't even think that it was worth watching.
Oh, wow.
It was so thrown together and so last minute.
So you boycotted it?
Well, not boycotted. Didn't think it was worth watching. It was so thrown together. And if there had been something of intrigue, new characters, or two people who wanted to get at each other and finally could, I would have watched.
All right. Joey, did you even rate the Battle Royal? Because I'll be honest, I gave it one body slam just because it was kind of a thrown together Battle Royal. Did you rate it?
I didn't even give it a body slam. I gave it a cruiserweight trying to slam King Kong Bundy, and Bundy fell on him. Like, it was just that bad, too. Like, I didn't even feel like I could rate this battle royal. And I'm a battle royal mark, so I don't think I can rate it.
Now we move on to the pay-per-view proper and our very first match out of the gate, the Men's Survivor Series match. And again, I'll run down who was on the teams. We had AJ Styles, Keith Lee, Sheamus, Braun Strowman, and Matt Riddle representing Team Raw, taking on Team SmackDown, Kevin Owens, Jey Uso, King Corbin, Seth Rollins, and Otis is who I was forgetting. I apologize to Otis for forgetting about him being in this. I didn't write it down. I still have my notes that say to be announced. So let's start with you, Rand. What did you think about the first Survivor Series match starting off the pay-per-view?
It seemed like the biggest point of interest in this was AJ Styles and how he gets along with everybody else. It seemed like their dissension and his cocky attitude was just the majority of it. I gave it 2 out of 5. It wasn't anything special. Again, this is Survivor Series. This is supposed to mean something. It was pretty average.
Joey, what did you think?
Well, I'll start off. I'll give it 2.5 body slams. And I think it's just because of I was surprised that it was they ran the table. I didn't understand greater good what Seth Rollins is talking about with just laying down. He's not. This isn't Hogan and Jarrett. So I didn't understand that whole thing. And then I felt like, you know, it just kind of made SmackDown look inferior when they're trying to make it the superior show, which I didn't get. And obviously I know I got this one wrong, but yeah, I gave it 2.5 stars mostly because of the surprise factor. Cause I didn't think they were going to run the table and do what they did.
I agree. I gave it 3 body slams because likewise, I was surprised about the whole way in which SmackDown was portrayed. And as you said, Joey, and of course as well, Rand, that it seemed that they ran the table on SmackDown because Team Raw won. And all three of us had picked SmackDown to be the victors because, again, you would think the show that's on Fox, the show that's garnering more attention because it is on Fox, would be getting the victory here. But again, and ultimately, what did Team Raw win? Because there's been no like incentive for the teams to win. Again, this should have been the two Survivor Series matches. There should have been some type of incentive. Some type of payoff. Correct, Rand. The winning team gets X, Y, or Z. And we talked on the preview show that it seems like it's a half-assed thrown together group of individuals anyway. So
they were calling it the best of the best, which, okay, like you said, that would even be more reason to have some sort of payoff when you're calling it the best of the best. Here's what I didn't understand. That whole Raw team was 2 weeks or a month ago was on SmackDown and NXT.
Right.
That whole Raw team didn't click with me either because of the guys that were on it, which I found that to be kind of wild too. I'm just glad that, but they made some people kept them looking strong, like, which is good. Like, they continue to push Keith Lee. They made guys look strong going into, like, as we'll see we go into Monday Night Raw with Matt Riddle. It was just nice to see them actually kind of featuring some newer talent, I guess, too.
Yeah, you know what? I think you brought up best of the best. Somebody that I was talking to, a friend I was talking to earlier today, said, couldn't they have won a trophy? You know, like the winning Survivor Series team get some elaborate trophy, you know, for, you know, even if it's just for 1 year, it still would give you a little something to go, okay, here are the stakes.
Each member of each team gets a trophy because we're getting participation awards.
Even if it was something like something silly, like they were going to have a dinner and the other team had to serve them, something to take a brag or gloat over. And there's, the whole pay-per-view is a glorified tag team match with no payoff.
And you know what, Rand? That would work because I could go back to the old time, you know, in the 80s when you had the heel that had the valet and she had to become, you know, the babyface's valet. You know, like David Von Erich and Jimmy Garvin, they did that shtick in World Class. That would be good. That would be something different. And it would give you some comedy and give you some things to – like, you know, build storylines off of, you know, for the next few weeks. But again, it's, and I think we know why it's this way. And we'll talk about that at the end of our review here. I think that it became clearly evident by the end of this pay-per-view why things are the way they are in the WWE. But more on that in a little bit. So let's move on to the big tag team match, the New Day taking on the Street Profits. Joey, let's start with you. What do you think of this matchup?
I'll give it 3 out of 5. I guess I could have pushed more towards 3.5 or 4. This match intrigued me. I like the concept of them passing the torch from the New Day to the Street Profits. I believe I picked the Street Profits to win this match.
Correct.
And I believe I was correct. I mean, it was a tag team match, a solid tag team match. It was nothing totally out of the ordinary, I guess, to me. So I gave it 3 out of 5 body slams.
Okay. Before I throw it to you, Rand, I'll give my thoughts. I really liked this match. I thought this was one of the better matches on the show. It was a good tag team match. They had some high-flying antics. The double blockbuster, that was a really cool finisher. I dug that. Again, I also picked the Street Profits to become to be the victors, excuse me. And I give it 4 body slams because I thought it was really entertaining and really good. Rand?
I also gave it 4. I thought it was a fun match before it even got started. I think both of these teams have a lot of personality on the mic. I think these teams are the best 2 tag teams going right now. I thought it was a lot of fun before. I thought it was a lot of good action. And I give it 4 out of 5 body slams. And I'm kind of surprised that there was a "This is awesome" chant in the crowd. I thought that was kind of odd and out of place, but maybe they're trying to make it seem like a real audience atmosphere, or maybe that came across on the viewers in the
Thunderdome.
Is there feedback from those people?
I believe that there's no audio from there. I think from everything that I've heard and read, all of the audio is produced in the truck and piped in. I did think it was kind of unique that they went with that. Like they went and found that chant to stick in. I did think that that was neat. But yeah, I mean, again, that was the only thing that stuck out in terms of the audio for me because I've just gotten immune to it, I think, of just, you know, the random crowd noise. All right, let's move on to our next match, which is the U.S. title, excuse me, the U.S. champion, Bobby Lashley, taking on the Intercontinental champion, Sami Zayn. I'll start things off here. I thought it was middle of the road. I felt like it was a match that could have been on Raw or SmackDown, not on a pay-per-view. Again, talking about this idea, this is one of the big 4 pay-per-views. I think the matches should be elevated a little bit. I gave it 3 body slams. Lashley gets the victory with the full Nelson. Yeah, it was okay. It's better than I anticipated. I thought it might be a little bit of a subpar match, but those two did a pretty decent job. Let's go to ringside Rand. What do you think of Zayn versus Lashley?
Well, these are two guys that if they didn't have the title, there would be no reason for them to match up. 2 different shows. They're similar level on each of their shows. It is what I expected it to be. Lashley had to hurt business with him. You kept thinking Sammy would do something out of line to cheat somehow. I mean, the efforts for Sammy to cheat is in his character. But I think there should have been more in-ring substance. It just pretty much an average match that if it wasn't for their similar titles, they wouldn't have had this match. I like the Hurt Business a lot. I mean, I think MVP's been great since he's come back. I like who they've put around him. It just an average match like you'd see on a Monday or a Friday night.
And by the way, Rand and I also picked, real quickly, Bobby to be victorious, whereas Joey, you picked Sami Zayn to be victorious. And what are your thoughts on the match?
Well, I'm kind of disappointed because I like the character direction Sammy's been going, and I thought he would win some really weird by hook or by crook count out or something. This would have been a good place, in my opinion, to reunite him with Shinsuke and Cesaro, because the Hurt Business was going to be there. It'd been kind of cool to see something where they would interject. This didn't go the way I would have booked it, the way I thought. I only gave it 2 out of 5 when I was actually hoping it would be more 4 out of 5 body slams, because I just didn't like the story that it told. And Lashley with the Hurt Lock, and I've been over Lashley for a while. He fits well in the Hurt Business, but I didn't like the ending, so that's why I gave it 2 of 5.
Moving on to a bright spot in this show. There's a backstage promo with Roman Reigns, and the Usos are there. One quick side note before we get to this. I'm just curious because, again, I admitted on the preview show I've not kept up with SmackDown as closely as I have with Raw. So, Joey and Rand, I'm going to need your help here. What are they doing with Jimmy Uso? Because Jay obviously is involved in this kind of I want to be part of the family storyline with Roman. So what are they doing with Jimmy? Joey, any thoughts?
Well, no, just because the one's injured, that's why he's not doing anything. When he's fully ready to go, he'll definitely be a part of this.
Okay, so Jimmy's injured then.
Yeah, he's been injured, correct.
Okay. All right. Well, I thought this promo was fantastic, by the way. I thought it was great. If we're looking at every single thing on the pay-per-view, this would be number one on my list. Now, I mean, you know, everything. I'm talking matches and everything. But as a standalone, you know, since it's not a match, I'm not going to include that in there. But, man, oh, man, it was really, really good. Joey, what do you think?
Let me defer to Rand on this, and I still want to think about that for a second.
Okay, Rand?
I'm amazed at how good Paul Heyman is without saying anything. Mm-hmm. He can just look at people, and he gets things across. He's building up the character just by supporting him and agreeing with him and giving dirty looks or whatever. Paul Heyman's incredible whether he speaks or not.
I'm in total agreement with Rand on that. That's one of the things I just kind of wanted to see what he had to say. And when you have a pro, which I love Roman working as a heel like this. It's great. I like the direction it's going. But exactly what Rand said, Heyman's a heck of a mouthpiece, but he's almost better when he's not talking because he can definitely put the whole angle over. And I'm enjoying – it's one of the bright spots for me in storylines I'm actually enjoying, and I'm far from a Roman Reigns fan.
I agree, but I think the work that they have put in for this storyline is great. I mean, just from where they did the whole backstory of them as kids up to now, it's been great. It's awesome. I really have dug the Roman Reigns storyline right now. All right, let's move on to the ladies. They are in action as Asuka takes on Sasha Banks. Let's start, DJ Joey Blaze, with you. What did you think of this match?
It was one of my two favorite matches of the night. These ladies just, it was all out. I just keep enjoying more and more the direction of women's matches and the work rate and where they're going with everything. It was nice to see Sasha actually get the win on a pay-per-view, like, because we know the direction she can go. So I enjoyed the match thoroughly. And that was definitely 4 out of 5 body slams for me.
And you did pick Sasha to be victorious in the match. Rand, what are your thoughts on this match?
I like now that Miss Banks is a full-fledged heel. The potential is there. I think she's great. I would like to see these two wrestle an actual match with no shenanigans, no outside interference, because I think these are two of the best. Strangely enough, I like it when Asuka starts yelling in the foreign language that nobody understands. I don't know who that's for, but man, I get the biggest kick out of that because even in a foreign language, she gets her point across. I mean, I speak Spanish and German and English, but I have no idea what the hell she's saying. And she gets her character across that way. I think they're two of the best female workers, largely because Charlotte Flair's not around right now. I think these are two of the best workers, and I think they had a 4 out of 5-star match.
And you also said that Asuka would win, Rand. Mm. You know, hey, sometimes you don't pick them correct, you know? Sometimes you strike out of the plate, right?
You've been watching my old footage?
All right. Well, I also, Joey, agree with you and with Rand. 4 body slams for me. This was a heck of a match, and I'll be honest, too. I had kind of this preconceived notion that we're seeing it again, Asuka and Sasha Banks, and so therefore I wasn't really looking forward to the match. But then when the match came, I was like, wow, this is really actually a good match, and I totally forgot that they have wrestled many times before, and I kind of forgot about my preconceived, I guess you could say, bias against the match or whatnot, that, oh, God, these two are going to wrestle again.
Well, that's what makes it great is because now they're having a match and they're getting ready to tell a totally different story because Bayley was involved before. Now they're not telling the same story. So that's what made it nice, and that's what made you forget that because you didn't have to, it wasn't going the same direction to having her at ringside and this, that, and the other. And, yeah, the story that it told was awesome. The work was awesome. That's why I definitely enjoyed the match.
Yeah, definitely. All right, well, gentlemen, before we move on to the next contest on the pay-per-view, I need to let everybody know about a great sponsor of the PVD Cast, and of course, I'm talking about World's Greatest Comics. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio, and they have tons of comics from every single era. I mean, we're talking about from the golden era to the modern era, from the 1930s, 40s, and 50s to the 2000s, 2010s, and 2020s. They've got it all for you. They've also got great graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, tons of back issues, posters, basically you name it, they got it. So you need to stop over to the store and say hi to Jeff and the fine folks at World's Greatest. But if you're not in the Central Ohio area, don't worry. You can check out the store online. Just go over to the website, wgcomics.com, or you can even find them on Facebook. Just search for at WG Comics. And I want to thank World's Greatest Comics for being a great sponsor of the PVD cast. Really do appreciate the support.
So, John, what is your favorite comic character now that you bring them up?
Well, you know what? I have quite a few favorites. I'm a big fan of Deadpool. I have been from way back before Deadpool was cool. I've always enjoyed him. But I'm a Punisher fan. I find his constant thirst for revenge to be very interesting and very intriguing. Let's see. Of course, you know I'm a big G.I. Joe mark, so all the G.I. Joe comics are favorites of mine, you know? So
if you could take any comic book character and put him in the professional wrestling ring, who do you think would make the best transition?
Ooh, good question.
Oh, man. That's a great question, Joey.
I'm going to guess Punisher.
No, because he's got to use guns. I mean, you know, that's what his forte is. I'm not going Punisher.
I already thought Mark Calloway was the Punisher at one time anyway.
Yes. Either or, after the Master of Pain or before the Master of Pain. I don't remember.
Or could Kevin Nash be one of the Ninja Turtles?
You know what? No, I don't know about
Who did he play in the movie?
He was Super Shredder. Okay. So I would have to go out, and it's not that far of a stretch, but I would almost have to think that Tony Stark would be the best all around performer in professional wrestling if out of any superhero. He would cut a promo and he'd be able to work.
I was gonna go Daredevil just based on athleticism enough. I was gonna go with Daredevil. I would think that Matt
Blind professional wrestler.
Well, yeah, I mean I just think that I think athletically he would be the best. He would be in the mold of like Brad Armstrong, if you will. Not too big, not too right at that 225, but still an athletic 225. I'd go Daredevil. That's who I would
think. He could wrestle as Arachna Man, is what you're saying.
Or the Candyman.
Nice. Bad Street.
Uh-huh. We can name them all, but let's not.
Anyways, let's get back to our countdown.
Thanks, Casey Kasem. all right, here we go. Women's Survivor Series matches next up. I'm just going to throw out my opinions here, my insights real quick. I did like how each team had matching outfits. I think it was much better than the men just, I got my Raw t-shirt on. I got my SmackDown t-shirt on. I mean, it was nice that they went with a little something different by everybody kind of coordinating, if you will. It ended up with Lana being the sole survivor just because she stood on the ring steps the whole time because she was bullied by Shayna, Nia, and everybody on the team. Team Raw picks up the victory. I thought this match was horrible. It was way too long. The Lana storyline is so dumb. I gave it one body slam. Rand, what do you think?
I think Lana is out of her place as a wrestler. I think she really – Rusev's not going to come back, but I really think she needs to be more of a manager or a sidekick. I don't think she's a wrestler. And having a wrestler win because they're not in the match is just stupid. I mean, you can put her through tables and maybe they're trying to get her to quit. I don't know, but – and yet I saw it coming. Didn't I say something like somehow she would win without even being in the match?
I think we both kind of touched on that, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Both of you picked Team Raw to be victorious, where I went with Team SmackDown. And I think, yes, I think both of you had mentioned somehow, some weird, wacky way, Lana would be the sole survivor. And I don't know. This is just garbage. That's all I can say. It was not an entertaining match at all. But I digress. DJ Joy Blaze, what are your two cents
for me when Bayley was eliminated so early? That made no sense. She was just the champion for over a year. Now she's eliminated?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that was goofy booking.
Indeed. All right, up next then is, I guess you could say, the main event as Roman Reigns takes on Drew McIntyre. DJ Joy Blaze, what do you think of this match? Give your two cents worth, your opinion, if you will, on our main event.
Well, I think it's the same way we're kind of looking at Sasha and Asuka ahead of time. We've seen this match. We've seen this. We know it's going to go on. We know, and they totally told a different story, and it was a really, really intriguing story. It was a really good match that I wasn't vested in. You know, I just like, yeah, this will be okay. I mean, but they went and they went hard, and it was I enjoyed it. I like how they booked the ending. That way you didn't make Drew look weak. I gave that 4 out of 5 body slams.
Rand, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think it's just like a curly fry over 4 body slams. Roman took every shortcut there was. Played the heel. Drew is the baby face. He survived. He was able to come around. He was able to do things to win. The booking made Roman look like a heel. Drew was able to somehow survive, but not win. Drew has now lost 2 pay-per-views in a row, but he made big comeback in the circumstances, and he still looks like a strong character. I think him having the title from Orton the week before, I think everything's good there. If they do it right, they could build this rivalry back up to either Royal Rumble or even WrestleMania.
I'm in agreement with both of you as well. I felt this match was fantastic. I gave it 5 out of 5 body slams. I thought it really told a fantastic story. It was great. You had the interference from Jay. You had the low blow. You had both men just giving it their all. They worked their asses off. I was pleasantly surprised too, because much like you, Joey, and much like we said with Asuka and Sasha, I was like, I don't know if I really care about this match, but it was damn good. My thing that I just wrote this down. I think it would be a cool thing that if, I know they won't do it, but it would be so cool because it would be reminiscent of Ted DiBiase, right? Roman's got that glove thing on his hand. He should load that bad boy up. You know what I mean? Like that would bring so much heat, and that would be so like a nod of nostalgia to have him slip something in the glove and then do the Superman punch, and that would, you know, put more KO on it, and that would be great, I think. What do you guys think?
You already have the perfect 10 doing that in AEW, though, don't you?
I don't know. I haven't seen Sean Spears in AEW in 6 months, so I have no idea. Yeah. Is he doing that?
He's running that gimmick right now. A couple months ago, Tully gave him the glove, the black glove. Now he's been loading it and doing all that right now.
Oh, well, good for Sean Spears. I didn't even know he was getting TV time on AEW. He should be getting TV time because that guy is pretty darn talented, but I was unaware of that.
He was on the other night.
Oh, well, there you go. All right, our last thing that we have to cover before we talk about a couple of other quick little items is The Undertaker's final farewell.
Barf.
I don't think I need to ask you what you thought of it.
It was dumb. Like, they could have done so much more with it. Like, why would you get all those guys in the ring and fly everybody out there and spend all that money, and then we leave, go to that promo, we come back to the ring, they're all gone. at least have them around the ring or something. Like, it made no sense. Like, I would rather see Taker at Mania wrestle a match and leave like they were trying to do, where he left the hat and everything in the ring. That made more sense than what they did at Survivor Series.
Rand, what do you think?
I think it's unfortunate that we don't have crowds, so we get the feedback from the audience back and forth, the appreciation. It's unfortunate that we just can't get together and do these things. The one thing I didn't want to see, and they didn't do it, was have people get in the ring and talk long stories that may or may not be worthwhile. I didn't want to see that dozen people start telling stories. They were there for respect and homage. Some of the people I didn't understand why they were there, and some people should have been there.
Well, who did you understand?
Well, I understood his friends, Fabio, Kane, Flair, Triple H, guys he had a lot of matches with, the Godwins, who are his friends. But I don't think of him and Kevin Nash as being that much together.
I agree.
I thought Bret Hart could have been there. I thought Cena could have been there. I think JBL and the Godfather were more friends than they were competitors with him.
Well, JBL had a long-standing feud with him on SmackDown. So that made sense.
Yeah.
But, like, there's no Brother Love. There's no Ted DiBiase.
I thought DiBiase should have come out first.
Yep. I agree on that.
Why was Jeff Hardy there?
Well, because that match that he had with Taker back, what, was it 03-ish or 04-ish, that was such a great ladder match that kind of put Hardy on the map as a singles wrestler.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a stretch a little bit.
Oh, that match. Do you remember that match?
Yeah.
I do.
That match moved his career forward and made it was a big deal. Like, he almost went over on Taker. Like, they built that match up, and it was a great match for the two of them, so I get it. I get why he was there. Taker liked working with younger talent and making them better.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, but the bottom line is it was 35 minutes of a waste because of exactly as we talked. You know, you bring all these people here, they're there, they're gone. Vince shows up, and this is what I alluded to. This is right now why the WWE is the way it is. Vince looks terrible. There is no way, absolutely no way, that he understands how to book wrestling at this point. I mean, he looked like death warmed over. He looks terrible, and I hate to say that. I'm not wishing ill on the man, but he looks awful. Am I right or am I wrong?
What's the character from the Batman movies that has the melted face?
Two-Face.
He looked like he'd been near a plastics factory that exploded.
Mm-hmm.
It just, maybe don't shoot him in so close. Maybe shoot him from a distance. Maybe
I hope the hell I look that good when I'm that age.
Oh, Joey, come on. He doesn't look good. I mean, and the fact that he had all that makeup, too, that made it look worse.
Maybe it was that was an homage to Paul Bearer. Maybe we missed that.
I did like the special effect putting him in the ring with the urn. I thought the Paul Bearer hologram was probably the high point of the farewell.
And then we just turned around and did it again Monday night where they had another final farewell. Like, I'm like, geez, come on, man. This is played out. I'm so sorry.
They just reshowed the promo.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's the same thing. I mean, they just rehashed it, and it's like, I don't know. Well, let's talk a little bit about maybe some other things real quick. Miscellaneous news and notes from Raw this past week. And Rand, we'll go with some random facts if you have them. But so coming out of the Survivor Series, what are some of the things, Joey, that you're looking forward to in the next few weeks leading into the next pay-per-view or leading into Royal Rumble?
I'm looking forward to COVID going away so we could get people back in the stands so we can enjoy that aspect of professional wrestling that's greatly missing.
Okay.
I'm looking to see what direction they're going to go going into Mania because we know how Mania was this past year. I'm anxious to see what stars are going to start getting elevated. My favorite pay-per-view every year is the Royal Rumble, so I'm anxious to see who they start looking to push to be the winner. Like, there's a lot of this is a lot of fun that's going on in the WWE. I just hope they don't screw it up.
Rand, what are you looking forward to the next few weeks or months leading into the next pay-per-view or Royal Rumble?
I think DJ Joe hit it well on the head. Who are they going to start building up? Who are the fans going to want to get behind to win the Rumble? You've got basically 2 months to light a fire under somebody or put a spotlight on somebody. It's going to be interesting to see who they nominate, so to speak.
Well, Rand, do you have any random facts, by the way?
I have nothing.
Oh, man. Wow. Write this down, ladies and gentlemen. Rand does not have any random facts. Wow. Okay. Damn. Wow. 2020, damn you. You took our random facts. All right, then, ladies and gents.
One more casualty.
Yeah, that's right. One more casualty of 2020. Well, with that, let's go ahead and wrap things up then, gentlemen. DJ Joey Blaze, where can folks find you on the internet?
Can I put over my OnlyFans page or no?
Just okay. First of all, OnlyFans is a direct competitor of the PVD cast, so I'm going to need you to cancel that account or I'm going to fire you.
Okay. Well, I guess I am now Zelina Vega, so you can find me on Twitter at DJ Joey Blaze, JoeyBlay, because you need to follow me, Z-E, Joey Blaze.
Are you going to be tweeting out here in a few minutes that you support unionization?
Well, is that controversial or? Oh, I was thinking of something different. Okay.
Were you thinking of unionization? That's weird.
Yeah.
Rand, where can folks find you on the internet?
Well, not only is there the Rand Zidmar 11 letters Twitter account, there is, if you know me really well and know the name that I used in stand-up comedy, you can find me on YouTube.
Oh, okay. There's a little hint there, Joey.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to have to get the Scooby gang on this, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
At your age now, is that sit-down comedy, Rand?
I was a stand-up fall-down drunk.
Oh.
I opened a lot of bottles and closed a lot of bars.
Do you know Bruce Valanche? Because if you don't, John can introduce you.
Oh. I could.
Somebody ought to introduce him to a barber.
Who?
Bruce's hair. Come on, man.
No, that's iconic hair. You don't mess with that hair. Leave Bruce alone. He is an American treasure, right, Joey?
I'm actually furious that he's talking crap about him.
I know. Did you have a run-in with Bruce Valanche, much like Wade Boggs?
No. Oh, okay. Here's a random fact about Wade Boggs. Not only is he known for drinking a case of beer on an airplane, he never used a restroom.
Wow, that's impressive. Man, tip of the hat to Wade on that one. All right. Well, anyways, ladies and gentlemen, we've gotten off the tracks. I'm going to go ahead and wrap things up here. Thanks, guys, for coming on and sharing your insights and your opinions on the Survivor Series. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with the pro wrestling pundits dissecting the Survivor Series. And, you know, I do want to make two comments real quick, especially about the last couple of things that happened on this episode. First of all, I don't know what ruffled Rand's feathers about Bruce Valanche, but Rand, he's top notch, man. He's awesome. I'm not going to have any talking smack here about Bruce Valanche. Otherwise, Joey and I may have to get our promoter's license and maybe promote a steel cage death match between the two of you. But I will also say, too, Rand, I do appreciate the story about Wade Boggs because I usually have to pee after three beers. So for Wade Boggs to hold his bladder that long, tip of the hat to him. All right, with all that out of the way, let's get down to letting you know where you can get in touch with me if you have any questions, comments, or whatnot. You can shoot me an email, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is @PVDMVP. You can leave me a message over on the Instagram and Facebook pages of this podcast. Just look for @PVDcast. And if you need to let someone know where they can find the PVDcast, well, there's a couple different avenues for that as well. PVDcast.com is the online home of yours truly, but each episode is also available through all those major podcasting platforms like Spotify, Stitcher Radio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, etc., etc. Just go to your favorite platform search engine, type in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put PVDcast John Orlando, and it should populate. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. Rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm, and subscribing makes sure that you never miss an episode of the PVDcast. And you know what? Tell some folks about it too. I'll throw that in there as well, because there's no better advertising than word of mouth. All right, well, that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank you for checking out the episode once again, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. following has been a production of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2020.